Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Sino-American Silicon Products Inc. First Half 2021 Earnings Call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there'll be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Hans Liu, Taiwan Semiconductor Analyst from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Welcome to Sino-American Earnings Conference Call. This is Hans Liu from Credit Suisse. Joining us today from Sino-American is the Chairperson, Doris Hsu, and the Spokesperson, C.W. Lin. Doris will provide a business overview, followed by C.W. for more detail. After the prepared remarks, Doris will provide some update on the frequently asked questions, and then we will start the Q&A session. I will now hand over the call to C.W. C.W., please go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Hans. Hello, everyone. Welcome for joining SAS 2021 First Half Earnings Conference Call. I'm C.W. Lin, SAS Vice President, as well as the company spokesman. We also have Doris Hsu, Chairperson and CEO of SAS, in this call. Doris will give us the executive comments later. Then I will present industry overview and 2021 first half financial performance. The final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris as well. For today's presentation file, we have uploaded it onto our website. If you do not have a file on hand, please access our website for the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risks and uncertainties. Actual results or trends could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation, page one, disclaimer. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Doris for page two to page nine, executive comments and the reinvestment status update, and I will report to you our 2021 first half operational performance later. Doris, please.
Okay, thank you, C.W. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining SAS earnings call for the first half 2021. This is Doris. In 2021, global consensus of net zero emission and greener future is becoming more definitive and clear. Many places in the world have been devastated by extreme weathers, such as the flood in EU, the drought in Taiwan, and many others. All of these events demonstrate that the importance of green power, due to the mature technology and affordable prices, solar energy now is one of the top choices of energy transition. This also makes the second quarter a record-breaking quarter for SAS. If you have our material, please turn to page two. First of all, I would like to start with our financial highlights. SAS second quarter revenue was 17 billion, and our EPS hit 3.61. We have achieved the second-best ever in Q2 gross margin, operation profit, and EPS. Also, we have our all-time high in net profit and EBITDA. Our accumulated first half revenue were 33 billion, and our EPS reached 6.11 per common share. These are the second-best ever half-year EPS since establishment. Next, I would like to talk about a very important commitment for sustainability we are going to make today. This is one of the most important topics I would like to present to the public today. As a total solution provider of renewable energy, SAS actively expand green power generation, energy storage, and green energy resale business, and dedicates to supporting the net zero transition of the world and Taiwan as well with practical actions. Pledging all subsidiaries of SAS Group, including GlobalWafers, oversee all the GlobalWafers sites to use 100% renewable energy by 2050. we will increase the weight of green energy by implementing our profound experiences in building solar power generation plants, along with signing renewable energy power purchase agreements and purchasing renewable energy certificates. These are the actions we are going to take. Our progressive goals are, we want to reach 20% by 2030, we want to reach 35% by 2035, and 50% by 2040. Usage ratio of our renewable energy. Gradually, we want to achieve the long-term goal of 100% renewable energy usage by 2050. Now, let me move to our reinvestment result. SAS has successfully explored a unique path, a distinctive business model in the volatile and competitive industry. We strategically deploy in numerous key steps in semiconductor supply chain through reinvestments in high potential territories. And the leverage, synergies, and the profit recognitions are all very favorable for SAS sustainable growth. Each of the reinvestments has its very unique value. Let me quickly summarize that there, quickly introduce these reinvestment companies. The first one is Extron. Extron is the top one automotive diode supplier in the world. It has a solid partnership with the big six automakers, and its products are applied in not only traditional cars, but also more and more electronic vehicles. And the next company I would like to introduce is AWSC, Advanced Wireless Semiconductor Company. AWSC specializes in PA or power amplifier, the key foundation of electronics. AWSC is one of the very few tier one compound semiconductor foundry in the industry. They are also definitely one of the major semiconductor compound foundry in Taiwan as well. The third one is TSC, Taiwan Specialty Chemical Company Corp. TSC is one of the major specialty gas suppliers in semiconductor industry, not only in Taiwan but also worldwide. Its main products include disilane and trisilane and several other specialty chemicals. I will briefly update the performance of these companies in the first half 21 later on. Now, let me quickly update the solar industry outlook. Regarding the prospects for solar energy industry, with COVID-19 vaccination rollout, green energy projects postponed by numerous countries are back on track now. It is estimated that the number of solar installations will grow further this year. We see various policies are legislated to support the development of clean technologies, especially for solar. For example, European capacity is accelerated because of significant measures. I would like to highlight Germany particularly. German parliaments have approved a Renewable Energy Act 2021 to raise the share of electricity from renewable sources to 65% by 2030. This means that the solar, which will bring up a solar capacity almost three times higher than 2020. SAS German subsidiary Alio Solar is the professional solar panel manufacturer. They will expand its comprehensive product offerings in Europe and serve local customers with its proximity, location, and superior quality. We are glad to see that Taiwan government also is plotting a path to achieve net zero emission by 2050. With more than 55% of the greenhouse gas emissions coming from electricity, transition from the traditional fossil fuel to renewable energy is crucial. It's very important. So solar energy is particularly ideal for Taiwan, not only because of its affordability and technological maturity, but also because of Taiwan, the tropical island is blessed with abundant sunlight. We expect that the solar power capacity to grow sharply in Taiwan in the next several years. Next, let me spend a couple of minutes to quickly update one of the very important components of SAS, which is Global Wafer, a semiconductor company. Global Wafer managed to achieve a pretty good first half financial result despite the numerous headwinds. In Global Wafer, June revenue reached 5.4 billion NT, and Q2 revenue totaled 15.2 billion NT. Both of these hit the third highest in the history. Its revenue in the first half hit 30 billion NT, which is 10.3% growth YOY. In terms of profitability, Global Wafer's Q2 EBITDA, net income, and EPS all hit the record high. Q2 EPS amounted to 9 billion, the best ever result. And our Global Wafer's cash flow from operation in the first half, accumulated cash flow from operation in the first half, achieved 10.3 billion NT, or US dollar 370 million. And the cash on hand as of end of Q2 is as high as 52 billion. The prepayment as of end of second quarter were 19 billion NT. So these numbers support very strong growth of Global Wafers. For semiconductor industry overall outlook, I think regarding to semiconductor wafer industry outlook, we have seen many downstream manufacturers announce the intention to expand huge capacity to meet the boosting 5G penetration and growing momentum for connectivity-related applications and medical care. The needs for wafer are expected to soar as well. Semiconductor wafers will have more growth in terms of both shipments and revenue in the next several years. So these are our quick update of Global Wafer and SAS Solar business. Next, let me quickly update the financial performance of our reinvestment companies. The first one, Extron. Extron has a very good breakthrough in the first half this year. Its Q2 revenue increased 74% YOY and almost reached 1 billion NT. Quarterly EPS reached 1.22 per share. Its first half 21 revenue grew nearly 40% and hit NT 2 billion total revenue in the first half. And net profit and EPS grew nearly 5 times to NT 0.3 billion or NT dollar 2.92 per common share. So automotive business last year was really very bad, but this year good recovery, so Extron first half performance was very good. And the second company with very good performance in the first half is AWSC. AWSC performed quite well in the first half this year, same as the past several quarters. They've been doing very good for several quarters already, and the first half this year they are doing very good as well. Its revenue, AWSC revenue and net profit in the first half increased sharply with double-digit growth. And first half this year, revenue totaled 2.2 billion. Net profit totaled 0.4 billion and EPS reached 1.1. This is very good performance for all of this. AWSC holds positive outlook with mid-teen QOQ growth for both Q3 and Q4 this year, and will conduct aggressive capacity expansion with maximum 30,000 wafers a month by 2023 to support 5G fast rollout and under-saturated markets for cheap smartphones in developing countries. So these are the performance of SAS, GWC, and three main reinvestments in SAS portfolio. So from all of these performance summary, it's very easy to figure out that SAS stock price, SAS value is undervalued. SAS market value is undervalued. Current market value of SAS trades at around 46% discount compared to the sum of its stack of reinvestments in GWC, CrystalWise, Extron, AWSC, and TSC, which make SAS a worthy option, one of the very best options for participate in the future growth of the promising business. The above are my very quick comments for quick summary and comments for our overall business in the first half. CW will share more details with all of you, including the industry trend and also our ESG detail and the business performance. Thank you very much. CW, please.
Thanks, Doris. Let me continue the presentation. Please turn to page 11. This is the commitment of sustainability. SAS commits to achieve 100% renewable energy usage overall of group's global operation base by 2050. The progress goals and the climate blueprint are 20% by 2030, 35% by 2035, 50% by 2040, and finally 100% by 2050. SAS will approach with four main goals. First, to adopt renewable energy. Second, to improve energy efficiency. Third, carbon removal. Fourth, to purchase carbon offset products. On page 13, is company group structure. This is SAS Group company structure. SAS now is a diversified business group consisting of solar, semiconductor, sapphire, as well as a strategic business like specialty gas, semiconductor business, etc. On the left-hand side is solar business group. We have Aleo, SAS Sunrise, and SPW, which own 100% share. Also, CFAB with 15% ownership, covering solar module sale products and solar power plant investment. On the right-hand side is the semiconductor business group, including GlobalWafers on 51.17% of semiconductor wafer, Taiwan Specialty Chemical on 30.93% for specialty gas, disilane, trisilane, etc. CrystalWise on 41.94% for sapphire. Also new product, LTLN, are under development. AWSC on 22.53%. Gallium Arsenic Foundry House. Extron on 22.75% is an automotive diode IC manufacturer. The strengths from this partnership are a cost-effective and reliable mainstream manufacturing process technology, broad technologies and extensive experience in traditional semiconductor IC, wireless and optoelectronics, automotive applications, etc. And the synergy will be collaboration in developing silicon compound materials to quickly supply 5G, electric vehicle, and other high-frequency and high-power products. Construct a competitive compound semiconductor industry chain in Taiwan. Also to expand operation scale and improve operation performance. And of course, end customers' feedback received from partner also favorable for GWC to fine-tune upstream substrate development. On page 14, it shows the revenue trend. As you can see, our revenue from global wafer semiconductor business contributed around 90% to SAS revenue in first half 2021. Semiconductor business growth is faster and stable than solar business. Semiconductor share increased a lot from 57% in 2014 to 90% in 2021, and definitely will grow again. Next is industry overview. Please refer page 16 to page 22. On page 16, this slide shows green energy development is back on track after pandemic. On left-hand chart is a net renewable capacity additions number, which reached 280 gigawatt in 2022. On right-hand side shows the net renewable capacity additions by solar. It grows every year, 145 gigawatt in 2021 and 161 gigawatt in next year, 2022. On page 17, follow previous page. This page shows exceptional high solar energy capacity additions to become new normal. Given it is the lowest cost option, support policy from 120 government globally, accumulate global solar PV capacity will reach 859 gigawatt in 2021 and 1,021 gigawatt in 2022. On page 18, this page shows that Europe is halfway to exit coal-fired plants by 2030. Total 35.4 gigawatt of coal power capacity will be phased out by 2030. Please see summary chart. Three nations announced coal-free. 11 nations phased out by 2030. One nation phased out after 2030. And five nations are under discussion. On page 19, the German government approved a share of electricity from renewable source to 65% by 2030. On the right-hand side, you can find renewable energy scale rise, 3 times from 2020's 51 gigawatt to 2030's 150 gigawatt. On the left-hand side, as you know, SAS has a subsidiary in Germany, Aleo Solar, which produces and distributes solar module and systems. This company will deepen the promotion in local market, follow government's new policy. On page 20, this page shows a trend that the net zero 2050 commitment boosts renewable energy capacity. On the left-hand side, more than 40 nations reached to share global CO2 emissions covered. On the right-hand side, you can see solar and wind capacity grow 4 times from 2020's 200 gigawatt to 2030's 1,000 gigawatt. On page 21, it shows clean energy investment boom also lifts global economic growth. According to IEA research, the required investment in clean energy and energy infrastructure will be tripled by 2030. Also, global GDP is expected to be 4% higher in 2030 than it would be on the current trend. On page 22, it shows Taiwan government announced a plan to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. C graph shows the renewable energy versus total electricity consumption from 1,460 gigawatt hour in 2020 and increased to 1,300 gigawatt hour in 2025. The ratio is 20%. Now let's move to 2021 first half financial result. Please turn to page 24 financial highlights. 2021 Q2 is a record breaking quarter. As Doris explained earlier, second best ever record, including gross profit, operation profit, and EPS. All-time high record, including net profit, EBITDA, and the profit before tax. On page 25, this page shows comparison of 2021 Q2 versus Q1. All items gross, for example, revenue 7%, EBITDA 36%, EBIT 53%, operating profit 9%, net profit 46%. EPS reached to NT$3.61 in Q2. ROE and ROA also show positive results. On page 26 and 27, 2021 Q2 versus 2020 Q2, and 2021 first half versus 2020 first half last year. Also, the performance improved a lot versus last year. On page 28 to page 32 are the summary trend of revenue, gross profit, operating profit, net profit, and EPS. The result showed a big improvement in past 4 to 5 years. We continue pursue further improvement. On page 32 is EPS trend. You can see 2021 first half amount, NT$6.11, is highest record since 2013. Page 33 to 34 are brief income statement and balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents is NT$49.6 billion. Inventory stay at a low level as NT$7.9 billion. Shareholder equity is NT$50 billion. It's very healthy financial structure. On page 36 to 43 are ESG highlights. SAS aims at being at the forefront of global responsibility in the aspects of environment, health, and safety and corporate governance. On page 36 on right hand side, SAS achieved to use recycled water 56% in 2020. On left hand side, total water withdrawal quantity reduced from 817 cubic kilometer in 2018 to 418 cubic kilometer in 2020. And the discharge quantity also reduced from 590 cubic kilometer in 2018 to 302 cubic kilometer in 2020. On page 37, SAS successfully reduced industry waste output from 5.8 thousand metric tons in 2018 to 2.7 thousand metric tons in 2020. Page 38 is a commitment to green energy. Until June 2021, SAS Group installed total solar capacity 20.46 megawatt, which could generate 24.56 million kilowatt hour electric per year, equivalent to 12.5 thousand tons of CO2 emissions reduction and 1.14 million trees. On page 39, it's ethical business practice, including legal compliance, course of ethical conduct, grievance system, and risk assessment. Page 40 is a corporate governance. SAS is dedicated to achieving corporate governance and fulfills its social responsibility. With this determination, SAS has been awarded the top 5% among all listed companies for 7 consecutive years. The gender tenure and expertise diversity, as well as the independence of the board directors, are the guidance for SAS to nimbly navigate in the competitive industry. And we also have volunteering, sharing, and caring in next three pages. On page 41 is volunteering. Kindness matters. SAS hopes to contribute a better tomorrow by fostering a common goal among colleagues to volunteer and share. Our community services include Christmas gifts for underprivileged children and fund raising for the elderly living alone, assisting rural schools renovation, beach cleaning, and ecological tours, and encourage colleagues as well as their families and friends to practice environmental protection and the roles employees awareness of protecting the environment. On page 42 is a sharing make a difference. SS encourages employees to spread their love by giving back to society, caring for disadvantaged groups, so as to fulfill corporate social responsibility. In Taiwan, our activities include disabled elder home sharing, daycare for children after school, charitable breakfast for children, etc. These social welfare activities embody our wish to respond to people in need to pursue a better world. On page 43 is a caring employees' welfare. Happy employees stay by fostering a genuinely caring atmosphere that focuses on employee welfare. SAS not only motivates employees but also raises productivity levels. SAS enhances overall employee benefits through developing a holistic plan with programs in four aspects: workplace, health, life resources, and welfare. By integration and reorganization of resources, we believe that we are deepening team bonding and improving team spirits. Next is Global Welfare's performance update. Page 45 is the update of development of takeover offer for Siltronic. Global Welfare achieved the final acceptance rate of 70.27%. Settlement of the takeover offer is expected in the second half of 2021, following receipt of required regulatory approvals. The schedule is the same as original plan, with no change. Page 46 to 49 are GWC 2021 first half performance update, including financial highlight of 2021 Q2 versus 2021 Q1, 2021 first half versus 2020 first half, income statement and balance sheet for your reference. Above contents is my presentation. Thank you. Next, I would like to hand over to Doris for Q&A session. Doris, please.
Thank you, CW. Okay, before we open the Q&A session to the audience, I would like to answering some questions which we have already received in the past several days, especially some questions after Global Welfare's announcement 2 days ago. So I would like to cover just a few questions here. I think that many of the questions will be what you want to ask as well. So allow me to answer those questions first. The first question we received is that after deducting Global Welfare's contribution and other long-term investment recognitions, has SAS solar business turned positive or not? I think we received these questions multiple times from multiple parties. Everyone knows that Global Welfare is very profitable, but what the shareholders really care is that not only Global Welfare is being profitable, how about SAS own business? Are you making profit at all? So here I would like to answer to everyone that yes, SAS has already achieved positive gross margin and cash income and operating income both not only Q2, but also Q1, Q2, and actually Q4 last year was positive as well. So we have already turned profitable. And so it's not only GlobalWafers is making profit, but also SAS, the solar business, is making profit as well. This is the first question and answer. And the second question we receive is that many of our investors and shareholders are they are concerned about that our strategy in solar business. So the question is that will you continue to make more investment on the technology migration and also the capacity expansion for our solar business? And our answer is that, of course, yes. SAS will consider making the capacity expansion and the needed investment on next generation technology. However, profitability is very important as well. So before we make any final decision to make further expansion, more capex for expansion or more investment for new technology, next generation technology migration, before we make those moves, we will work very closely with our customer and try to get customer's commitment. So we try to make it same as our semiconductor business, that we want to have some long-term agreement from our customers first. We want to get their commitment before we really kick off putting in a fund, make a huge fund for the expansion. But in general, our R&D is still very aggressively developing new technology very aggressive. So we are always ready to make further expansion or migration for next generation technology. This is the second question. And the third question is, that we were asked about that many of our shareholders and analysts know that we have a very famous solar module plant in Germany, which is named Alio. So we were asked that how's the performance of Alio? Are they doing okay? Is Alio making profit? So here is our update and answer. Alio is doing pretty well in Germany, in Europe. Actually, Alio is one of the very few local-made EU solar module maker in Europe. So they are doing pretty well, not only this year, but also last year. They are doing very well, although last year in Germany and the whole EU, the COVID-19 pandemic, the whole situation was pretty bad. A lot of lockdown, a lot of movement control, but in Germany and many EU countries, their solar installation business activities were quite smooth. So we were doing pretty okay last year. And this year, we are still doing very good. The first half this year, Alio revenue we achieved 5.35% YOY growth, so which is quite okay. And price-wise, European local-made module solar products price is quite reasonable and stable. So this year, we will make further capex, further capacity improvement, and also technology improvement in Alio, in our German fab. And in the second half, or actually in Q4 this year, we will launch a new product, which is high efficiency module. The efficiency, the total output of one module will be as high as 440 watts per module. And this is a 60 cell module, 60 cell type, not a 72 cell type. So a quick summary for Alio is that they are doing very good, making profit every quarter, every month. We are expanding our German module capacity as well this year. And their key marketplace is in Europe. So it's Europe main, and key market is in Europe. So this is the third question, third update. Next update is about SAS overall strategy for investment. So the question is that SAS ownership of GWC is regarding to SAS ownership of GWC. So the question is that with your SAS share as a holding company being undervalued for a long time, will you consider to monetize the GWC share modestly and return cash to shareholders, but in the meantime remain the largest shareholder of GWC. Our answer for this one said, no, SAS has no plan to sell their GWC shares to improve their cash. No, this is not the plan. We don't have any plan to do so. We will keep our largest shareholder position of GWC with no doubt. This is our plan for GWC, the ownership over GWC. And next question is that, SAS total revenue and profit mainly coming from GWC semiconductor business. How do you see the impact to GWC of Siltronic, who just made an announcement to build a new 300 millimeter fab in Singapore last week? Basically, we don't comment about any of our peers' movement or business strategy. This is our company policy. But given worldwide 300 millimeter market demand keep increasing a lot in the next few years. For example, right now, as of now, in Q2 this year, now worldwide shipment for 300 millimeter monthly shipment has already reached 7.2 million wafers a month, and this will keep increasing. So we believe that the market demand for 300 millimeter wafer will remain very strong. Right now, current supply is quite limited, it's quite tight. So we think that Siltronic is making is a good direction to increase some capacity to meet a lot of foundry IDM customers' demand. So I don't think that this will affect GWC overall semiconductor wafer business. And we are two independent businesses, so we do our own business decision independently. Okay, next two questions is about our company dividend policy. So the first question is about SAS dividend policy. We have been asked a couple times that what is our dividend policy for SAS dividend payout policy. SAS dividend payout is always, but dividend payout ratio is always high. And this year is very high as well. I mean, 2021, the dividend payout for 2020's overall performance was very, very high as well. And our view is that, of course, all the dividend payout will definitely will depend on the cash availability and overall strategic investment plan. But in general, we will keep SAS dividend payout quite stable, meaning that we want to keep it at high ratio unless we have specific investment plan or we have some different cash flow availability issue. Otherwise, I think SAS overall dividend payout ratio will be stable. Quite a lot of shareholders are asking about GWC dividend policy because the question is that GWC lowered the dividend payout rate for 2021 as GlobalWafers would like to reserve more cash for the acquisition and also the capacity expansion this year, 2021. So the question is that can we expect that your payout policy will resume back to the normal payout rate in 2022, which means that around 75-80% 2022? The answer is that in 2021, we slightly lowered our dividend payout rate this year, 2021, for 2020 performance. Because we want to reserve more cash on hand for the acquisition and also the capacity expansion plan. So that's what we did this year. And I don't think that next year we will resume our dividend payout policy back to 2019-2020. No, that's I think it's more likely that our dividend payout will remain at around current level, like 2021 next year, because of the business combination we're still trying, and also quite a lot of high capex demand for GWC brownfield expansion in the coming 2 years. So yeah, next year, I think that our dividend policy will not be back to 2019 level. It will be pretty much the same as 2021 current level. So that's the seventh question. And next is that we were asked that how about our greenfield? They want to know our greenfield investment plan. So the question, GWC, the question is that your peers have been discussing about the potential investment of the new fabs due to a limited room for further debottlenecking. However, they will require the longer duration contract with price premium to consider the new fabs. Could you let us know if you have such plan in discussion with your customers, and what would be your criteria for a greenfield investment? Here I would like to make it very clear that GWC do have mapped out a plan for a greenfield expansion, but GWC will not launch this plan for now. GWC's priority now is to do brownfield projects in several countries, including the brownfield project in Japan for 300 millimeter epi wafer and polish wafer, and also GWC will do SOI expansion in the US and epi expansion in Taiwan, and some debottlenecking in Korea. So all of these expansions are for 300 millimeter. New capacity from this brownfield expansion will be available from maybe mid-2023. So that's the expansion plan for GWC. There is no greenfield investment plan for now at the moment. We have already have the plan ready, but have no plan to launch the greenfield expansion now. And the last question I would like to answer before opening the Q&A section is that we were asked in the past 2 days since we released our GWC first half result, we were asked them why is GWC Q2 EBITDA so much higher than Q1? You know, GWC Q2 EBITDA was as high as 45%, and Q1 was around 34%. Why is that? Why is Q2 so much higher than Q1? Of course, our gross margin is higher in Q1 as well, and our overall operating income is higher, but why EBITDA is so much higher? Here is the explanation. Here is the answer for this. The main reason is because of the share price of Siltronic at the end of Q2, comparing with end of Q1, has increased substantially. And therefore, we have recorded the unrealized gain resulted from the mark-to-market valuation of this GlobalWafers 13.67% Siltronic stock owned, and categorize this earnings as other income. So also, GlobalWafers has received cash dividend from Siltronic in the second quarter for 2020 performance, which is also recognized under other income. Therefore, the EBITDA margin has improved in larger magnitude versus gross margin. So this explains that why Q2 overall EBITDA, GWC EBITDA is so much higher than Q1. In Q1, just the negative way, just the opposite. In Q1, Siltronic stock price was bad. So in Q1, actually, GWC has to record it the unrealized loss resulted from the mark-to-market valuation of Siltronic stocks. So just the two opposite situations. So that is why Q2 overall EBITDA is so much better than Q1. But in general, if we combine Q1 and Q2, make it a total first half of this year, our overall EBITDA margin is around 39.9%, which is about same level like the past several years. So we're quite stable. So these 9 questions were what we received multiple times from multiple sources in the past 1 week. So thank you very much. I just summarized those Q&As first. And now I would like to have the open Q&A, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Doris and CW, for the update. Before we start the Q&A session, I would like to ask one question investors will want to get more color. So Doris, if Global Laser can successfully acquire Siltronic, the company may need more funding to support it. Would you just dilute your Global Laser stake, or would you consider to participate and maintain your share in Global Laser at above 50% level? And if you decide to participate in Global Laser's funding plan, would SAS require additional funding as well? Thank you.
I think that first of all, our principle is to minimize the dilution. So as long as we can manage, we will try to minimize the equity to do the funding by equity. So because you see that we have already have ECB, we have a lot of loans in Europe, in NT dollar and in US dollar. So we prepare a lot of fund for the acquisition. So our strategy is that we will maximize our non-equity fundraising. This is the first step. And then next is that, of course, we don't want to have very high debt ratio as well. So we will check the market overall situation and consider that what is a little bit more balanced way. So maybe we'll have a little bit of equity. If we really have to run some equity, then SAS would depend on what kind of equity fundraising we're going to do. If we do it as a GDR, then SAS will not be able to participate a GDR fundraising program. So then SAS will be slightly diluted. So that's the point. But in general, we try to minimize, GWC will try to minimize the portion of equity related fundraising. That's the plan.
Okay, thank you so much. Operator, we can start the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, please press the pound or hash. Again, it is star 1 if you wish to ask a question. The first question is from Manjit Lee from
Longleat
Capital. Please ask
your question. Hi, good afternoon, Doris. Good afternoon, CW. Thanks for the time. Let me just have a couple of questions in terms of, again, GWC. I understand that obviously we have a green flu plan in mind, but we're not going to launch it. But what kinds are we looking at in terms of doing the green flu? I mean, what price do we need to secure before from spot price in order to actually do a greenfield investment? Thank you.
Yeah, you're right that we have the plan, but we are not going to launch at the moment. I think that there are some criteria we have to meet to before we launch the LTA. And first of all, the price has to be improved. Based on current market price, we just cannot afford a new greenfield. So price has to be improved, we need prepayment, some support from customers, and we need at least 80% of the capacity has to be taken, has to be covered by customers' LTA. That's our plan. So once we have all of these items met, then we will immediately kick off our expansion, and it's very our greenfield expansion. We already have 2 candidate location available right now.
Got it. Thank you very much. But in terms of pricing, I mean, we have heard our peer competitors talking about probably 50 to 60% higher in pricing before they can actually do greenfield. In our point standpoint, I mean, where do we stand in terms of pricing?
Yeah, I think, yeah, first of all, basically according to our company policy, we don't really comment pricing. So I apologize, I cannot give you a specific percentage, but there are two ways to calculate the price difference. One is that, are you going to charge super high price for those capacity from greenfield capacity, for those wafer from greenfield capacity only, or are you going to make it a blended price? I mean, if you expand your capacity by 20%, for example, so if you charge a super high price for this 20%, this is one way. And another way is that you charge a small increase, but for the whole 120% of all of your wafer, and that's another way to charge the wafer. So our plan is that if we are going to do a greenfield, then we will raise the price of all of our wafers. So that means that we will have all wafers to share the pain of the high depreciation from that greenfield. So if we apply this blended price strategy, then we don't have to make the price increase as high as 50-60%. That's another way. But if we want to make it, you know, the greenfield wafer price, the whole depreciation will be absorbed by the wafers from greenfield, then I think we really need a huge price increase. Sorry, cannot give you some specific percentage. Sorry about that.
Yep, understood. Maybe my last question for me is actually on SAS, right? I mean, from the shareholders of SAS point of view, what we understand is actually trading at a huge discount to some of the past. From our point of view, how do we think that we can narrow this discount so that we can actually narrow the discount to the sum of the past, which we really pointed out is actually a huge discount?
You mean the SAS price discount?
Yeah, correct. It's about 46%, right? You mentioned it.
You mean the stock price?
Like half of all the investment.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we actually plan to narrow this discount?
Yeah. Yeah, we have we have several approaches. I mean, I do, you know, CW and I, you know, whenever we do any presentation to any shareholders, no matter in Taiwan or overseas, every time we try to highlight the value of all of our reinvestment and the value of the potential of the growth of the company. This is one way we try to improve, you know, the visibility, the transparency to share our real value to the shareholders or potential shareholders. This is one way we will keep working on this one. And it's improving from $30, $40, $60, $70 per share, and now it's 200 today, maybe somewhere around 200 NT per share. But it's not enough, it's still big discount. So what we are going to do is that the second step is that we will try to, basically we will keep growing our revenue. I mean, SAS revenue will keep growing, but we try to limit our capital. So that means that maybe we will freeze our capital, but we try to make our revenue and profit even higher. For example, right now, our capital, our GWC capital is 5.9 billion NT, but our revenue is over 60 billion NT, so it's 10x, it's more than 10x. We will try to make it even larger than 10x. So that's the second way we want to do. We'll keep improving not only the transparency and visibility of the company, but also increase our EPS and increase our revenue versus capital. You know, now it's around 10x, so now it's around 11x. We want to make it more, even higher than 11x. I mean, the revenue-wise. And the third one is that, of course, dividend payout is a very important factor as well. We will work very hard to keep it high dividend. If you check our financial statements, you will notice that, maybe you will notice that we have very high capital surplus. Our capital surplus is over 24 billion NT, I guess, right? Gongji, it's over 20 billion NT. I remember it's somewhere around 24 or 23 billion NT. About 23 billion NT. And capital surplus means that when you try to when you, okay, our capital surplus is 20 billion NT right now as of end of June. So this capital surplus means that as long as that we have cash available, actually we can pay our dividend higher than our EPS. So for example, if our EPS is 12 NT, but we have a lot of cash, we don't have to, it's not necessary for us to limit our dividend payout under 12. We can make it even higher because we have capital surplus. And that capital surplus, the dividend from capital surplus will be tax-free. So that's another way we try to explain the value, the potential value of this to the shareholders, and also we'll try, as long as our cash is available, I think it's very likely that we will have very beautiful dividend payout for SAS. It's actually, SAS is really, I think it's the one of the very best choice in Taiwan stock market. You know, you check a lot of, you know, about same price, same stock price company, but actually no one, I think we are the best one, I mean, EPS wise and dividend wise. So we will keep improving. I know that this discount, this is management team's responsibility to narrow down the discount. We will keep working on this. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Doris. I'll come back to the queue. Thank
you.
Okay, due to time constraints, we shall conclude the call. Thanks, Doris and CW, for the update, and thanks for everyone's participation. If you have any questions, please reach out to the company and credit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day. Thank you.